love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
All right, it's not looking good for Roy Moore again today. Senate Republicans really don't want to get him elected, and neither do at least five women now. Yesterday, Beverly Young Nelson announced at a news conference that Moore attacked her in his car when she was 16 and he was 30. Nelson said Moore offered to drive her home one night after she was waitressing on her shift and it was over. Her boyfriend didn't show up, so he said, "I'll take you home." She said they got into the car and he drove her to the back of the restaurant where he locked the doors and then he groped her. He tried to take her skirt off, grabbed her neck, and tried to force her head toward his crotch. She said, "I thought he was going to rape me." After she struggled against his advantage, his advances, she said that he dumped her out of the car in the parking lot and sped away. She also said that Moore told her that he was the district attorney and she was just a child and no one will ever believe you if she tried to report the incident. Moore says this is all a witch hunt, but even if one of the allegations against him is even partially true, everybody in Washington is saying he should drop out of the race and check into therapy. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell believes the woman and now wants Moore to drop out. Now Republicans are brainstorming ways to kick Moore out even if he wins in Alabama's special Senate election on December 12th. One option would be for Republicans to allow him to be seated in the U.S., the Senate, and then expel him. Some are even considering a write-in candidate. That seems unrealistic this close to the election. But then again, no Democrat has ever won a Senate seat from Alabama in 25 years, so it may not be so far-fetched. This Alabama Senate election is a microcosm of America's current social and political quagmire. The flood of sexual assault and harassment accusations against powerful men and the willingness of voters on the right and the left to overlook serious character problems in candidates in order to win. Some things are more important than winning. Will America rediscover them?
It's Tuesday, November 14th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Stu, could you remind me? I know I really strongly dislike Gloria Allred. I was watching this yesterday where she brought out the victim and she's glued herself to her shoulder. So there was no way the camera could ever shoot without Gloria Allred in it.
Yeah, it's really strange. She's standing or she's sitting next to the purported victim, and her face is approximately 9 inches away from her face.
Well,
and
she's staring
straight into her cheek.
Yeah, she's at her shoulder.
Yeah, it's very strange.
And leaning into her, it's really. But could you just remind me? It's just that every time she's like to me, she's Al Sharpton. If you
yes.
see a press conference with Al Sharpton, you immediately dismiss it.
Right. She's taken lots of high-profile, sort of salacious media cases. Mm-hmm. She's constantly coming up with accusers against Republicans. She does the press conference the same way seemingly every time. She did it with a bunch of the Trump accusers during the campaign where she sits, you know, very close to them, and they all read while sitting at the table, read the statement. They read it and, you know, without exception, cry.
Yeah, and she's always there. She's always there with a box of Kleenex.
Right.
I mean, it's such a stage show. It's awful.
It really hurts the credibility of any accuser that goes to her because she's just such, I mean, she's Al Sharpton. It's like, it's hard to take anything that happens. I mean, you watched this thing like yesterday and obviously the woman's very upset and everything else. Gloria Allred sucks some of the credibility out of anything she's associated with.
I think if this woman would have come out without Gloria Allred at her side, it would have made a much bigger impact. Just by having Gloria Allred at her side has made so many people, makes me immediately go, okay, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. Because she's just such a hack. And so you don't take her seriously. The days of the Al Sharptons and the Gloria Allreds, I think, are long gone. And let's celebrate for a moment. However, a new group of scumbags will, you know, they'll appear at some point. But until then, we just have to have Gloria Allred and Al Sharpton. But so dismiss her for a second and listen. And it's amazing because I listened to this today. I listened to the audio and I watched the audio yesterday. And she seemed to have more credibility than when I listened to her. It just doesn't sound right when I'm listening to her, but watch her and it seems right.
And she has some corroborating evidence, I would say.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we get to that in a second. First, let's listen to her. Here's cut one, Beverly Moore in car.
Mr. Moore reached over and began groping me and putting his hands on my breast. I tried to open my car door to leave, but he reached over and he locked it so I could not get out. I tried fighting him off while yelling at him to stop. But instead of stopping, he began squeezing my neck, attempting to force my head onto his crotch. He was also trying to pull my shirt off. I thought that he was going to rape me. I was twisting and I was struggling and I was begging him to stop.
It's such a weird format. It's like, here's a horrible story from this woman's life. Why is she reading it? Like, this is something she lived, right? It's because Allred wants to control the entire thing.
Yes.
It's just a strange way to present these stories. I mean, it has nothing to do with whether it's true or not. It's just a bad way of doing it.
It just hurts her. Mm-hmm. It just hurts the story. Okay, here she is being threatened to stay quiet. Listen.
At some point, he gave up. And he then looked at me and he told me. He said, "You're just a child." And he said, "I am the district attorney of Etowah County. And if you tell anyone about this, no one will ever believe you."
If you watch that, that seems credible. That seemed real. The first one, I don't know. She seemed like she was trying to force her feelings a little bit. And I think it's just from, again, Allred coaching. Mm-hmm. However, this one felt personal and real. So that's her side. Now, here's what Roy Moore said immediately after. Watch. Listen.
"I want to make it perfectly clear. The people of Alabama know me. They know my character. They know what I've stood for in the political world for over 40 years. And I can tell you without hesitation, this is absolutely false. I never did what she said I did. I don't even know the woman. I don't know anything about her. I don't even know where the restaurant is or was. And if you look at this situation, you'll see that because I'm 11 points ahead, or 10 or 11 points ahead, this race being just 28 days off, that this is a political maneuver and has nothing to do with reality. It's all about politics."
Okay, first of all, that just, whether he's telling the truth or not, unfortunately, that feels like this.
"I did not have sexual relations with that woman."
It sounds the same. At least to me, it felt the same. Now, here's the problem with this. He says, "I don't know her. I've never met her. And I don't even know where the restaurant is or was." The evidence that she presented yesterday is his signature in her yearbook. I don't understand how. Have you ever signed a yearbook outside of high school, Stu?
I don't think so.
I haven't. So I don't know how the yearbooks were all signed by this guy. But so he signed yet another yearbook where he signed it. And in this, he said, "To the most beautiful girl." Do you have it?
Yeah. "To a sweeter, more beautiful girl, I could not say Merry Christmas. Christmas 1977, love, Roy Moore, Roy Moore DA," and then gives the date, which is December 22nd, 1977.
Here's the real problem.
And then it says Old Hickory House, which is the name of the restaurant she worked at, right? Now, again, obviously, I don't know what the excuse. I don't think he's denied it was him who wrote this. And, you know, maybe he knew her, for, you know, for 10 minutes and he was being nice. And there's, you know, she signing okay, a yearbook so, does not so prove he tried to rape her.
No, so here's what could have happened. He could have been at the Old Hickory House, which he doesn't recall now at all because he was only there once. And it's a small county and that was open very, you know, it was open for a week.
It wasn't open for a week.
Yeah. But, and so he doesn't recall it at all, but he was there. She was the waitress. She happened to have her yearbook there. She sees him. Oh, that's the district attorney. Would you sign my yearbook? He signs the yearbook and then writes underneath Old Hickory because that's where he was sitting.
Right. It's not plausible. Impossible. Of course, the fact that he denied knowing about the restaurant
is a
not helpful.
No.
If that were the actual case.
Correct.
Which makes me think it isn't the actual case.
Now, here's a list of all of the people that were on board and now are jumping off board.
Okay, so here are the these are the people who have denounced his campaign. John McCain was the first one the day the story came out. Mike Lee and Steve Daines, the next two, and Jeff Flake. That was on Friday. Then on Sunday, you had Bill Cassidy, you had Pat Toomey, and you had Bob Corker. Then I guess, let's see, yesterday it was a bunch. You had Mitch McConnell, which was kind of you know, the one that was promoted the most, Ted Cruz. You had John Cornyn, Cory Gardner, who this is after he had banned birth control. You should know that. I don't know why he would. He does not have the right to comment on these things after the guy bans birth control.
He didn't.
He bans birth control, and then he does this?
That was a campaign commercial. It was total lie.
Cory Gardner banned birth control.
No, he didn't.
Shelby, which is a big one, obviously, being from Alabama. Then you had Lindsey Graham, Susan Collins, Orrin Hatch, and Todd Young.
I mean,
so you think
he's lost everyone.
You're at 16 of 52 Senate Republicans have now denounced or withdrawn their endorsement.
Not good. Not good.
Suboptimal if you want if you want a Republican to have that seat.
Really not a good thing.
Again, they can't really do anything, though. As you point out, there are some crazy things they can try to do. But the bottom line is that people in Alabama are going to make this decision. Moore cites the poll where he's up 10. Two other polls have shown different stories, one showing a tie, another showing his opponent up 4. It could go really either way. The people from Alabama are going to look at this.
It's a long way away from the election.
I was just going to say, 28 days is an eternity.
Yeah.
An eternity in these things. And I honestly, like,
I could see the people of Alabama saying, we know, remember, because it's always, like, all elections are local. And everybody can look at a Chuck Schumer and go, the guy's a dirtbag. But the people in New York, they're like, I know him. I trust him. He's my buddy. And so, you know, you have no idea how the people of Alabama are going to react to this. It's not going well. It's not going well for Roy Moore. And I am for one. I don't want to hear anything from the left. Chelsea Handler yesterday tweeted, can you imagine being this woman and have to listen and not being believed in all the. Yeah. Yeah. You know who retweeted that with an answer to it? The answer just said, yes, I can imagine. Juanita Broderick. When the left decides to believe Juanita Broderick, who I believe was so credible, when they will actually take on Bill Clinton and say, you know what, maybe we should look at those women, maybe we've done a disservice, when they begin to look at him, I will believe they actually mean it, and it isn't just about politics. Lots of people calling in. I bet you want to comment on this. We'll try to get your phone call in. 888-727-BECK. Welcome to the program. We're so glad that you're here. There's some amazing stuff going on. We're doing a special this week on theblaze.com. My TV show at 5 o'clock is doing a 4-part series on Antifa and what Antifa really is. What are they really for? What's their history? We've dug into it and had our researchers put together a chalkboard series on Antifa, and it is really quite stunning. And we've tried to make it so your kids or, you know, college students are going to be able to listen to that and say, okay, well, he's not just rejecting it out of hand. And I'm trying to approach this so you can share it with somebody who is kind of falling for it and trying to present the message to them so it will help you out. So you'll be able to learn something and you'll be able to share it with a friend or a loved one that might be going in the wrong direction. The history of Antifa coming up. We have time now to share this jacket. I think we have time now. This thing is unbelievable. This is a new designer jacket, and it is for the Antifa and anarchist movement. It is a it's a army jacket, if you will. And the designer took a Sharpie and wrote all kinds of things on them. For instance, on one pocket, it says, no borders and protect what you love. The other side, it says, they've tried to burn us. They didn't know we were seeds. It says revolution off to the side. I like this one because it's so in touch with the kids today. Drop acid, not bombs. Oh my gosh. On the other sleeve, if you look on the other sleeve, it says, a bombing for peace is like for virginity. But my favorite is underneath that sleeve, that same sleeve. Could you read that for me, Stu? If this doesn't say everything.
It says, I am valuable. I am powerful. I am deserving.
Unbelievable. Ugh. Okay, so now
I noticed this too. Did you notice this on the back of the collar?
Yeah.
It just says New World Order.
Oh my gosh. So here's the thing about this jacket. This jacket is sold at Barney's for $400 in New York. So they're selling an Antifa anarchist jacket for $400. What? So you can throw a Molotov cocktail through the Barney's window on your way out? What?
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck program. Welcome back.
So the other day, USA Today taught us all a little bit about guns.
Oh yeah,
and the need, the need for really understanding the ins and outs. Because I mean, a lot of people will say guns are good or guns are bad, and not really understand the nuances of firearm use right. in this country.
And USA Today does,
and they do.
They not only understand. Mm-hmm. They not only understand the nuances of gun safety, they also understand what the rails on an AR are for. Mm-hmm. They understand all of the attachments.
They understand that. And, yeah. and they were talking about the shooting the last week and discussing the intricacies of the weapon he used. And they showed the different attachments. And they said, you know, these aren't the only attachments you can have, though.
Yeah.
There are some other attachments.
Yes.
And you should know about them, such as for example, the shotgun attachment, which right. you would take an AR-15 and then attach, for some reason, a shotgun to the bottom of it.
Correct. And everybody has one.
Which everyone basically has.
Everyone has one.
And then, of course, the very famous chainsaw bayonet.
Yes.
Now,
who doesn't?
You may have never seen, because if you're not from Texas or one of these southern states with all the rednecks in it,
yeah.
you may have never seen someone with a chainsaw bayonet, but it's very common.
I told my son, I gave it to him for Christmas. I think he was about six, and I said, try to be careful with this. And he's been having the AR with the chainsaw attachment for years. Now, I don't know if you saw this, Stu, but mm-hmm. I went out. I spent the day. I couldn't find a single Cabela's that was selling the chainsaw attachment.
That's so strange, because I think it's something like 97% of all guns have chainsaws attached to them. And
right.
I don't know. Maybe
right.
they were all sold out because so many have been
sold. Could
have
been. Yeah. Could have been. Mm-hmm. Could have been. So we had to make ours, and I went to the range.
And I seems like a good idea. Let me just say that. Out front.
It seems like a good idea. Something that the NRA would be all for.
Oh, my gosh. Have they endorsed this yet?
No, they haven't. No, they haven't.
Huh.
In case you missed it, here's a little clip of it.
It's scary.
We heard
scary.
From USA Today the other day about all of the dangerous things that you could just buy right off the shelf to adapt your AR rifle. Of course, the one that everybody who's in the NRA knows is, of course, the AR chainsaw attachment. Here in Texas, they apparently were all sold out. We couldn't find it at a single Cabela's, so we had to make one ourselves. And you know, I don't know what we've been doing this whole time, missing out on all of the fun.
Look at that thing.
Because you know, there's really no reason for the chainsaw. You know, after all, you really have to do is
sight was off.
Shoot your target.
No, nice
in the
here.
Head. And there's really absolutely no way he's going to survive that.
And shooting a dummy.
But just to make sure, we have the chainsaw bayonet. Now, I want you to know, yes, it is a scary looking black gun, but it's environmentally friendly. We didn't want to put any more nasty CO2 into the atmosphere, so shot your victim, and of course he's completely
chainsaw.
Dead. You get down to your victim, who is clearly already dead. Shot him in the mouth, in the eyes, and in the neck. And then you can go to work. This takes your AR from scary to sick. God bless America.
I don't know if that's up at glenbeck.com, but you have to see that. And you can make it yourself. I mean, all those things, as scary as it is, available, you know, at your local hardware store. AR not included.
Well, yeah, that's kind of an important part of that.
Right.
But you do need very dangerous weapons to defend yourselves
yeah.
against the scary things
now,
in our environment.
I'm working on something new, and I am going to, I hope to, unveil it at the M1 ball this Saturday. And it is the ultimate attachment to an AR. And I've been working on it. I've seen
the designs. I've seen the blueprints.
Yeah.
And I can agree that if you get this thing done, it's going to be the most devastating
yeah.
attachment.
I don't know if I'll have it ready, but I hope to unveil it at the M1 ball. And then that way I'll be able to take my competition out for the armadillo race, who I believe has to be cheating. Welcome to the program, Jeff Fisher.
Hello, Glenn.
Hi.
Hello, Stu.
So,
hello, Jeffy.
So we're doing an armadillo race, which, by the way, they are carriers of leprosy. I just want to throw that in again.
That's not going to scare me.
No. So we're having an armadillo race. I've never been in an armadillo race, but you can bet on us, and all the proceeds go for charity. And for some reason, Jeffy is creaming all of us. And, I mean, I don't even know how. He doesn't even have a show. Nothing.
Oh.
He has...
Now, Jeffy, of course, was hosting the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson this morning. I happened to see that when we came in.
Right. Yes, I was. I filled in for Doc the last couple of days. Right. I don't know the Blaze Radio
Network.
But
other than that,
I got nothing.
You got nothing.
Well, I got chewing the fat on the Pat Gray Unleashed program.
Yeah, chewing the fat with Jeffy.
But nothing else.
Other than that.
Yeah, well, you don't have a podcast.
Well, there's podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what's that? Anyway, so those podcasts, that's a fad.
Nobody. Boy,
anyway, so Jeffy, I wanted to bring you in.
Yeah.
Because a listener.
Oh, boy.
Yes. A listener wrote in. Glenn and Stu, you should know. Did I tell you that I felt really, really bad that I broke the boot off of the armadillo the other day?
What?
Yeah, I broke the boot off the armadillo. It was here, and I broke it on the air.
The trophy that I'm going to win?
And it really bothered me.
Yeah, he was very
deeply.
He was worked up about that because it was the big prize for the armadillo
and
race
for the actual race.
Yeah,
I mean the race of financial. That's just another race. That's a race.
This is for
a
trophy.
Hands down, I'm already winning hands down.
Right, you are winning. You are winning so
far.
And
I've been practicing.
Yeah. So anyway, it says just an FYI. Jeffy broke the armadillo leg. He did it on Facebook Live last week. He just stuck it back on there. It's not Glenn's fault.
Is this true?
Absolutely true.
100%. You let Glenn suffer on national radio television.
I was in the other room going, Mercury One, do not come over to Glenn Beck. Don't tell him. Don't tell him. Don't tell him. I asked her later that day if she'd come over and told you that it was already broken.
No, we have listeners who like us.
Yeah. I mean, not enough, apparently.
Not enough. Yeah.
Because I'm in second to last place and Glenn's in third to last place.
It's wrong.
I mean, it broke.
So how did you break it?
It broke.
Right. How did you break it? Did you take a bite out of it or what happened?
Yes, it was lunchtime. Yeah. That's what happened.
I heard that if you fry them up,
yeah, the armadillo
can get
pick those up right off the road. They're good to go.
They're carriers of leprosy.
Not after you cook them. Now the people are kind enough to have me in front, defeating you people.
I mean, seriously,
other people.
You are up by give or take 50% over Pat.
I know,
who is in second place, and you're crushing us. You're three times basically Glenn and I.
Listen, people. Listen, people.
This isn't right.
This is wrong.
Fix this.
This is wrong. Fix this. Go to mercury1.org and fix this.
Mercury1.org/armadillo is how you can get there. You can see the race and you can donate.
Clearly,
and this
donate
money,
to me.
All the money goes to charity. All the money goes to Mercury One.
You're right. And so when you do that, when you donate something, you can select who it will benefit on the armadillo race.
It cannot be Jeffy.
It should not be Jeffy. It should
be
Stu.
It could be anyone.
You could put
Glenn on leprosy.
Doc,
be
Pat,
okay.
Brad, anybody.
Yeah.
Just not Jeffy.
Really?
Yes.
Can't be done.
Wow.
Can't be done.
I mean, a vote for Jeffy is a vote for leprosy.
It really is. Really is. You hang around him too much and your fingers start to fall off. Your arms fall off. So it's ugly. It's ugly. So thank you, Jeffy, for making me feel good.
Well, it was great to stop by and see you, Glenn.
Yeah, no, it was always good to see
you, boy.
Oh,
yeah. Man, did I miss seeing you.
Oh, do I miss you every day?
You bet.
You bet.
And thank you for breaking the trophy.
Yeah.
That was incredibly nice.
I thought it was classy that you owned up to it, too. You didn't just go, oh, crap, and stick the boot back on. I'm glad. No, that's a classy move.
Well,
it's a classy move.
What else are you going to do?
I don't know. Admit it, you know.
I did.
Okay.
After you in front of me.
Thank you, Jeffy. By the way, last night I finished three paintings. I kind of want to sell them as a set, but I don't think anybody's going to buy them as a set. The three people that are the defenders of freedom. The three people that were really responsible for bringing down the Berlin Wall, one is Ronald Reagan, one is Pope John Paul, and the third is, I think, Meryl Streep. No, Margaret Thatcher.
Did you have a review here, Jeffy, on some of the artwork?
Glenn's actually getting pretty good.
No.
I'm looking at him going, those aren't bad.
Yeah, those aren't
those aren't bad.
Yeah,
yeah, you're
not
getting
bad.
Pretty good. I mean, you're saying you did those.
Yeah, I did them.
I mean, I know your name's on them, but I'm actually saying
no,
you did
them.
Okay.
You can verify. My wife yelled at me all weekend. Believe me.
Those look great.
Those cause battle scars with at the house. She's like, stop it. Stop it. Enough.
And
enough.
So it's...
And you listened, clearly.
Yeah, I did.
Jean-Luc Picard.
No, that's Pope John Paul.
A young Hillary Clinton.
No, that's Margaret Thatcher.
And, of course, the Cowardly Lion from...
No,
the Cowardly
that
Lion.
That would be Ronald Reagan.
He looks like the Cowardly
Lion. He was really hard. He was really hard. I struggled with that one. He was hard. Pope John Paul, Margaret Thatcher, pretty easy. Ronald Reagan, for some reason. But, I mean, it doesn't look like the Cowardly Lion, does it?
Yeah, look, if you kind of look at, like, if you look at the fur around his mouth, as the white part is fur.
No, it's not fur.
Now it looks like it's a Cowardly Lion.
It does look like a big mustache thing happening.
Are you making, is that a commentary on Reagan? Are you saying he was a coward? Is that what that is?
No, I'm
wow. I mean, you know, Glenn, he's the 100th most important person in the world of art. This is a guy who makes statements.
With his art.
With his art. You know that, Jeffy.
Absolutely. So anyway, we've known that for years.
I think this will be these will be posted up on their auction site, and then they will go for the live auction. But I think you can bid on them on online as well. They're not up there yet, but they will be, I think, tomorrow or something, at mercury1.org /M1Ball. I think we'll take you there. You just look for the auctions.
They really should be sold as a set, though.
I think so. They were made for a set.
Yeah, that is a set.
They were made as a set.
So you can't sell them separate, period.
I don't want to, but, you know, it's for charity, so whatever they want to do.
And you go to mercury1.org/Ronald Reagan is a coward if you want to look at Glenn's latest artwork.
No, that's not even...
it's a strange stance,
no,
I'll say.
I don't know what that even...
Glenn Beck.
We have some really important news on another breakthrough for society, which I think is really, really good. This is from Tampa, Florida. A man named Jadu says that he is Filipino, except he was born white in Florida, and his name is Adam. But he makes a good case here, and I want you to hear this.
Whenever, you know, I'm around the music, I'm around the food, I feel like I'm in my own skin. I'd watch the History Channel sometimes for hours, you know, whenever it came to that, and, you know, nothing else intrigued me.
Can we stop for just a second? Can we just stop for a second? We'll pick it up. I want to start from the beginning again. I just want to stop here and say, we are doomed. We are doomed.
Just an unrelated comment?
Unrelated.
It doesn't seem like...
entirely.
Okay.
I mean, good heavens, listen to this.
Whenever, you know, I'm around the music, I'm around the food, I feel like I'm in my own skin. I'd watch the History Channel sometimes for hours, you know, whenever it came to that. And, you know, nothing else intrigued me more but, you know, things about, you know, Filipino culture. I think if you're unhappy with who you are and you change yourself for the better and that makes you happy, you know, go for it. But it's I would never say it was a privilege to, you know, be unhappy with yourself all the time. Well, the funny thing is, you know, I had to make sure that it wasn't just me, because if it's just me, then there must be something wrong, or maybe I'm just strange. So, you know, I created the group in hopes of, you know, getting our message out in a bottle. And people started to join. People started to message me about, you know, their conflictions with themselves. My family knows about my transsexuality, but they don't know anything about this. It's just my mom is kind of an older world person.
Okay, stop.
That's an interesting line.
I knew if I could find others, it wasn't just me. Because if it was just me, then there must be something wrong with me. No, have you ever thought that there's another option? There's something wrong with you and a few other people. Just because you could find somebody else that's like, you know what? I know you're white, but I believe you're Filipino because I'm white and I believe I'm Chinese. That doesn't mean there's nothing wrong with you.
Glenn Beck.